Once again, my name is Asif Rahmani, and I'm from United States. And my major goal in this presentation is going to be to help you show you how and why you should love SharePoint Designer. All right? Whether you're a developer, an IT professional, or a power user or administrator of sites, why you should be paying attention to this application, if you're not already. The top five great things. All right. Before I do that, let me just go ahead and quickly introduce myself and thoroughly so you know where my background is, where I'm coming from. Here's my email address. If you need to get in contact with me, asif@sharepointelearning.com is the best way to contact me. I'm a SharePoint Server MVP and a Microsoft Certified Trainer. I run and I'm a principal contributor for a site called sharepoint-videos.com. This site started many, many years ago now, and the main reason for this site to exist is to provide screencast or video functionality-driven information to people so you can see exactly how things are done. And I'm going to give you a quick, if I have it here. Here we go. This is what the site looks like. The resolution is very, very low right now, so it doesn't look exactly the way it should. Anyway, this is sharepoint-videos.com, and we have about 112 videos out there already. There's quite a few free SharePoint 2010 videos as well if you want to watch them. Creating external content types, navigational components for SharePoint Designer, and lots of different things like that. So sharepoint-videos.com is where you'll find the demos that I'll be doing today and a whole lot more stuff if you're interested. All right, let's see. I'm also the co-author of the Professional SharePoint Designer 2007. And in case you're wondering, I'm this guy right here. People get confused. I don't know why sometimes. All right. And I love speaking at conferences. It just gives me a chance to meet a lot of new people and meet with a lot of old people. So I hope I can make some friends after the session today. You come out, come say hi. We'll talk. All right. What to expect during this presentation? There's going to be lots of demos. This is something that I really value, to be able to show you things. There's going to be some slides, but a whole lot of demos. I will take your questions, but in order to show you everything that I have prepared for you, I'm going to request that we don't take too much time in answering questions during the presentation. I'll do the remaining at the end, and then afterwards I'll be here. I'm doing two more sessions tomorrow, so no worries. You'll see me. And you will enjoy this presentation, I hope, no matter what your background is in SharePoint. But if you already have SharePoint concepts ingrained in your brain, then I think you'll enjoy it more. Because I'll be talking about content types and site columns and things like that, which I'm assuming people already know what they are. Not SharePoint 2010 specific concepts, just SharePoint concepts in general. If you have those, then you'll enjoy it more, I think. All right. So the evolution of SharePoint Designer. Before I talk about this thing, I need to understand who am I talking to. I have a general idea of your skill set from what I've been told, but I want to see a show of hands, if you don't mind. How many people have been working with SharePoint Designer 2007? That's what I thought. All right, great. How about 2010 SharePoint Designer? Anybody worked with that yet? Just a few. All right, that's exactly what I expected. So you want to know exactly what has improved, right? What are the new things? What are the existing things? Have the things that have really driven me nuts for so many years, have they gotten better? And just what are the cool things in here? I'm going to show you that, hopefully. But before I do that, let me just talk about the evolution of SharePoint Designer. How did it come out to be? We had this thing called Front Page 2003, like a long time back. Remember that? And many people hated Front Page, right? Probably, if I ask how many people hate, I'm sure most people are going to say, yes, I hate Front Page. It had lots of issues. Front Page was a cool application, but it was kind of like a stepchild where there was lots of SharePoint stuff that was just been pushed into Front Page. And it was not truly a SharePoint designer. So Front Page 2003, the Front Page name itself just got thrown away. Then we had SharePoint Designer 2007, which is the current application in production. And SharePoint Designer was the first true time when you can build workflows, your data-centric applications, using data views, if you work with those things. Create your solutions on top of SharePoint. So lots of cool things came out in SharePoint Designer 2007. But of course, there were some things that were missing or some things that were just not production quality, I would say, I dare to say. Meaning, you make your workflows, for example, in SharePoint Designer, and they were really powerful, robust workflows. As a site administrator, you make your workflow, and then your colleague comes to you and say, hey, Asif, could I get that same workflow on my site? And what do you tell them? No. Make your own. right? Or you give them a screenshot of how you made it, and they have to make their own. And same thing, you know, taking it from development to production, that was also a bit of a challenge, right? You could do it, but there were some hacks. Anyway, so now we have SharePoint Designer 2010. SharePoint Designer 2010 takes care of all those issues. There are a few things here and there that I hope will improve by RTM, but most of it is all covered. And you'll see a lot better experience realizing your investment in SharePoint working with SharePoint Designer. Okay, and I'll talk a little bit more about who and why of SharePoint Designer in the next slide, but one point I want to make sure that you understand is you need SharePoint 2010 to be able to work with SharePoint Designer 2010. All right, I know someone's going to ask that question. Can I start using it right now with my current environment? Unfortunately, no. Due to the investments that were made, due to the things that were changed, there was so much that it was not possible to make it backwards compatible. So SharePoint Designer 2010 requires SharePoint 2010. Please keep that in mind as we go along. Now, how do you get SharePoint Designer 2010? Currently, you can download a free copy, a beta copy, from Microsoft's site. So you download SharePoint 2010, and you can download SharePoint Designer 2010. And when it does finally go RTM, it will be free. And it's going to be at Microsoft.com/SPD. All right? It will definitely be free. Okay, now about the who and why. Let's talk about this, and then we're going to jump into our demos and all. Why should you use it, first of all? I used to be a developer, not that long ago, about 3.5 years ago. Okay, and I did a lot of development in SharePoint. Event handlers, web services, you name it. I did a lot of cool stuff like that. But when I got into SharePoint Designer, I realized that, you know, this is like the true middle point of not doing too much IT stuff and not doing too deep developer stuff, and you can do all that stuff and a whole lot more in much less time using this application called SharePoint Designer. The word designer throws off a lot of people. They think that it's just for designer folks, for branding, for just theming, things like that. That's not true. SharePoint Designer, if I had to rename it, I'd probably call it the application that will save you a lot of time working with SharePoint thing. Because seriously, it does. And making workflows, making data-centric applications, which both of those things I'm going to show tomorrow in my sessions, creating your subsites, creating your list libraries, all those things, content types, everything could be managed within SharePoint Designer. So it's the tool to use to customize, to build applications on top of SharePoint without doing coding. All right, who should use it? This is something that, you know, some people have some ideas, and I have my own ideas. And here's my, in my humble opinion, here's my thought on who should use SharePoint Designer. Power users and site administrators and designers, I don't have designers listed here, but designers also should be the main people who should be using SharePoint Designer. Okay, so for branding, for master page creation, for creating solutions, as I mentioned, on top of your sites. Those people will just bring up SharePoint, bring up SharePoint Designer, attach to an existing SharePoint site, make subsites, all the stuff you can do. IT professionals and IT devs also can use SharePoint Designer either to build their own solutions or have it as a starting point. So one thing about I'm going to show you later is how you can make a external content type in SharePoint Designer. External content type, those of you who know about this, used to be called entities in SharePoint 2007, right? So you make an external content type, it resides in the business data connectivity, used to be called business data catalog, now business data connectivity, and it lets you get to your back-end application, line of business data. You could do that directly in SharePoint Designer. It will end up in your service application for business data catalog, business data connectivity services, and very easy to do, just in a few minutes. So lots of cool things that you can do, no matter who you are, I think. One person, one group of people that I would not put in there, and here's my contention with some of the folks you know, saying that those people should be using it. I think end users should not be using SharePoint Designer. Okay, end users, if you give them the rights to use SharePoint Designer, and they can do whatever they want in SharePoint Designer, good luck. That's all I can say. All right? But everybody else, I think, could do really good with using SharePoint Designer. All right. Top five things to know. Of course, I'm going to show you five different things. There's a whole lot more that you can do in SharePoint Designer, but I'll be showing you the top five, at least in my opinion, top five things that you can do in SharePoint Designer to make you successful. First thing is, let's look at the new user experience, all right? The way the new SharePoint Designer is laid out, with the navigation pane, the summary page, the ribbon, all that stuff, and exactly how a user can go in to make their subsites, to make their objects, whatever objects might be, I want to show you all that stuff to begin with, all right? So a true introduction to the user interface of SharePoint Designer. Let's get into that. One other thing to keep in mind when people ask as to, you know, why SharePoint Designer? Can I use just a browser to do all the things that I need to do, meaning making sites and making lists and libraries? Yes, you can. But it will take you quite a long time to do it, what you do in SharePoint Designer, to do in the browser. And of course, there's a whole lot more stuff that you can do in SharePoint Designer that you cannot do in the browser, because browser is a web client, right? It's not a fat client. It's a thin client, so it has limitations of what you can do. So I have the site SharePoint eLearning, my top site. And what I want to do is open this site up in SharePoint Designer. First thing, I can just copy my URL. So http://spel. All right, copy this. Start, all programs, Microsoft Office, and SharePoint Designer is right here. All right. This is what's called a backstage. I'm sure you've seen this. Most of you, I'm sure, have seen this in some application or the other, right? Word has it, PowerPoint has it, InfoPath has it. All the Office applications have this thing called the backstage, which is the starting point, and also you can go into it later when you're working with a document or working with a PowerPoint application or whatever to do stuff, to do configuration or customization on that application or the document that you're working on, metadata and all that stuff. In here, when you come to the backstage of SharePoint Designer, it's asking you, what do you want to do first? Do you want to open up an existing site? Do you want to create a new site? All right. Or do you you want to work on customizing my site, which we'll not touch today at all? Well, keep this in mind also. SharePoint Designer 2007 was compatible with non-SharePoint sites. So you can open up non-SharePoint sites in SharePoint Designer 2007. In fact, I do all the time still. In 2010, you cannot do that anymore. So you need a SharePoint deployment before you can start using SharePoint Designer. It has to have that first. I'm going to say open site, and I'll paste http://spel there and click on open. All right, pretty quick. First thing I see is my summary page. This is a summary page for my site. The title, description, web address, SharePoint version, etc. Permissions that are on the site, this is new. The permissions that are on this SharePoint eLearning is showing up right there. The subsites that are underneath it, customization options, settings, all those things are there. All right, so that's all the stuff right here is my summary page. Okay, pretty colors. All right, and this right on the side, in the blue, it's a navigation pane. So if you're used to SharePoint, of course, you know what a navigation pane is, and you can even call it a quick launch, I guess. The navigation pane shows you the intra components, the object within the site. So lists and libraries, your workflows, your site assets, site columns, content types, all those things are accessible through the navigation pane. On top, you have the ribbon. We did not have the ribbon in SharePoint Designer 2007. This is a new addition to SharePoint Designer 2010. Of course, the ribbon is everywhere. SharePoint has it. All the Office applications have it. And now SharePoint Designer has it. Ribbon, just like in other applications, is very context sensitive. You go to a, let's say, a site columns tab or site columns section in Quick Launch or the navigation pane. And it shows you what can you do. You can make an existing, a new site column. You can make a new, or you can use an existing site column, manage it, whatever you want to do. And also, it's very security sensitive also. So it's security trimmed. If there's something that you're not able to do, they should not be able to do, then it will be grayed out. All right, so don't be worried about that. It's all, whatever you can do is going to be visible to you. All right, what I'm going to do first is make a subsite. So I know there's already two sites here, marketing and team site. I'm going to go ahead and click on new. It shows me all the built-in teams, the site templates, and also my custom site templates. Everything is visible here. I can choose anything that I want. I'll choose a team site. And I'll go ahead and make this sales. Okay, that's the name of my site, sales. Notice one thing that I don't particularly like, but this is what it is. In the beginning, when it makes a site, it labels it team site. So you need to know to change that first. It takes a template name, and it names a site with that template name. So you need to click on that and change the name to sales in this case. Enter a description, whatever else you want to do. All right, once you're done, save it. And that's it. Site is created. If I want to navigate to it, I can click on this web address. And it should take me in the browser, here we go, to the site that I just created. All right, very, very quick to do. When I have my site created, what do you do within a site? This is a question. What do you do within a site? A SharePoint site. Collaborate, right? Content creation, collaboration, that's what SharePoint sites are all about. So you make content, your list, your libraries, you add users, permissions, and you add web parts. And you add web parts to show your content. And that's it, that's your site, basically. So all that stuff you can do within SharePoint Designer. I'm going to go ahead and do this. How about this? We'll go to Lists and Libraries. The ribbon has changed now. It's showing me I can make any SharePoint list, document library. Also, I can make external lists. External lists are connected to a business data connectivity, the external content type, which I'm going to show you later. So what I'll do is I'll go to SharePoint List, and I'm sure most of you know this, that the context list does not come as part of the template, right? So when you make a new site, your announcements list is there, your calendar is there, document library is there, but there's one thing that's not there is a context list, and you can go ahead and make that. So I'll go ahead and make it. I'll call this simply Contacts. Click on OK. Now here it is. I'll go to Contacts. Now it's showing me the summary page for the context object. So now first thing to see here is that it's showing me the list information, the views that are on this list. The forms, which are serving the information. So, you know, I think this is echoing a little bit, sorry. So, forms which let you make new context, let you edit context, display context, are all visible here. And you can make new forms if you wanted to. So if you don't like the way the default form looks right now, you can go ahead and change it, or you can make a new one and make that the default, or a secondary edit form, for example. All that stuff I'm going to be showing, actually, in my tomorrow session. But right now, I'm just going to move forward here. Workflows that are attached to this list, shown here. Content types attached to it, shown here. And then something called custom actions. All right. So I have my list here. I'm going to click on Edit List Columns. And Edit List Columns, what I'll do is go to the company column. Okay, let's say this is a context list which is for departments only. External company, is just for one company, so I'm going to take out this company column. I'll click on Delete, and it's gone. And I'll click on the Add New Column and say single line of text. Let's make new column hair color. Okay, so I want to start tracking hair color for people. And one other column that I need, but it's not existing here, is departments. I want a departments column, like a site column, that already has some departments for my company already in it. So I'll go to Site Columns. In Site Column, I'll say make a new column for me and make this of type choice. All right? Make new column of type choice. I'll call it Department. I think I picked the wrong one. Oh, no, I picked the right one. Choice, Department. I'll put this new column in a new group called AdventureWorks AW. And for the choices for department, I'll put in IT, marketing, sales, my default choice being IT. And here we go. That's my new column right there. I'm going to go ahead and close this pane, save it, go back to my contacts list, click on Add Existing Site Column now. And here it is, right? Department is right there. I'll pick it. All right, and once you're done modifying the schema of your list, click on Save. Here we go. Now, looking at the list column, I can go back to the settings of this list by clicking on the List Settings button up there. Goes back, and I can click on the web address for this context list, and it takes me to the context list. When it comes up, you'll see that the schema has been modified now. The hair color is there, the department is there, company is no longer there, right? Adding data, adding your new row items, that is not done through SharePoint Designer. That is only done through the browser. That's the end users who are doing it. Okay, so this is where the end users jump in and say, okay, I'm going to start filling it out. Yes, sir, question?
Why did you create site column rather
than list column? Why did I create it? Well, so a site column is best if you're going to be using it in multiple places, and also if you want to manage the choices in this case in one place and then just push it out to multiple lists, which is being used. So that's why I created that in my case. Reusable column, exactly. So that's how side columns are used right now in SharePoint 2007, and that remains the same in 2010. All right, so that's my context list. I think I'm done with that. Let's do something else now. Go back to the PowerPoint deck. Talk about the next thing here. Now, you see there's a lot of powerful stuff that you can do in SharePoint Designer, right? I mean, I've shown you just a little bit here, but I'm sure you're thinking, oh, wow. So you can make all these different things, objects. What about if I don't want people, or some people, to be able to do these kind of things? Well, you can restrict SharePoint Designer in a couple of different ways. You can restrict it at a web application level, or you can restrict it at a site collection level. So if you're a server administrator, you can go to a web application and say, okay, here are the folks, here are the site collection administrators who cannot design a page, or who cannot mess with the master page. Or if you're a site collection administrator, same thing, site collection administrators can say that, all right, I don't want these designers and administrators in my site to be able to detach a page. You guys have heard about this ghosting, unghosting thing, right? And then it's called customizing or non-customized page in 2007. So all that stuff you can prevent if you like, if you wanted to, by using restrictions. And let me show you a quick demo of how you could do that. Now, I mentioned before that you can view, let me close this one, you can view permissions directly in a site. So I'll go to my site and go to the site groups right here. In site groups, there are four site groups right now, members, owners, visitors, and viewers. I'll click on members. Membership for that right now is domain users. Everybody is a member. Click on owners, administrator is the owner right here. Visitors, nobody's a visitor. And viewers, I think there's nobody there. All right, so what I want to do is see exactly what kind of experience a person gets opening up SharePoint Designer if they're just a member of the site. On my desktop, I have a remote desktop connection who is going to open up a session for a person called Irene. And Irene right now is just a user for the site. Irene goes in. She knows about the site collection. She knows about the sites. Goes to Start, SharePoint Designer, and says, I want to open up a site. Directly types in SBEL/sales and click on Open. All right. Look carefully here. It says, you do not have permissions to open this web part in SharePoint Designer. Period. I mean, open this website and not web part. All right, so how do I give her permissions if I wanted to? Irene comes, of course, complaining to me, as if I need the permissions here. So what I want to do is, I don't want to just up the permissions for the members group. What I want to do is make a new group in this case, and that's going to be the designers group, let's say. And the designers group are the ones who are going to have permissions to open up SharePoint Designer. So I'll go to site groups. I'll go to new group here. Make a new group called designers. I'll be the owner I'll say administrator. All right. Within designers group, I'm going to go ahead and add the user, Irene. All right, so she's member of the designer group. Designer group, of course, doesn't have any permissions yet on the site. So I need to go here, where it says, click to assign the site permission for this group, right here. And then I'm going to say, okay, it's not giving me the permissions here. Please select the desired permission, and I can't pick anything, can I? That's pretty odd. All right, let me go ahead and save this, or refresh it. Okay, it's gone. Completely. Did I mention this is a beta product still? Things like that does happen once in a while. Oh, who want to guess what I did wrong, by the way? Anybody? Well, actually, I'm still logged in as Irene. All right. So that's my fault here. I'm going to go ahead and log off here. That's actually good. So this was a demo to show you that an end user or administrator, designer cannot do this. All right. Come back here to site groups as an administrator. Designers, the group got made, which is great. Irene got added to the group, but Irene could not add herself. Okay, this is not good. Site permissions link is still gone, isn't it? All right. Let's assume this never happened. I'm going to go ahead and delete this group for a second and go ahead and recreate this really quickly. New group, designers. Hope it lets me make this administrator. All right, and I'll add Irene to this group. And as an administrator, now I'm going to go to click to assign permission. Oh. I have no explanation for why that happened. All right. You know what? I'm not going to sit around and do this again and again. So I'll just do it one more time, and if it doesn't work, we're going to move on to the next one. I'll come back to this to see what's going on. But I'll just go ahead and name it something else. That might be the issue. No? Something is up. I have no idea what it is right now. All right, you know what? I'm going to try this if you have time at the end and see what happens. But basically what I was going to do is make a designers group, add Irene to it, which I did, and give it permissions of design for the site. And then later, Irene should be able to open up the site and do certain things, but not other things. So she could not make master pages. She could not make look at the whole hierarchy of the site with the all files, which is the bottom one, all files view. And she could not detach pages to unghost them or to customize them. She could not do all those things if I was able to do what I was going to do. I'll come back to that. Let's look at the next thing. Creating external content type. All right, so external content types let you make connections to your line of business data. Right? So you have data, of course, everywhere in your organization, I'm sure. You have partners who have data. How do you get access to that data? The SAP data, the PeopleSoft data, the custom databases, how do you get access to that data and bring it into SharePoint? That's the question here. Well, you make external content types. All right, and we're going to make one right now. I'm going to go just make sure first I'm logged in as administrator. Okay, I am. I'll go into external content types, which might take a second to build the external content types report right now. This is right now going to the business data connectivity layer and pulling up all the information that it has about the existing content types. All right, the existing external content types. Not to be confused with the internal content types, which are not external content types, of course. So let's see. Once it comes back, and while it's doing that, let me open up central administration to show you exactly where this is kept. There's a new concept now of service applications, right? Service applications like BDC or like Surge are the ones that keep the information for whatever settings that you have for that application. So I'm going to show you the BDC service application and show you exactly where the ECT, the external content type, would be stored. Here we go. Manage service applications. Come on. And business data connectivity right here. All right, so here's one that I created earlier. It's already there. And the new one that I create, that I'm going to create, is going to end up here. So in SharePoint Designer, I say, let's make a new external content type. The summary page for that should show up in just a second. And once that shows up, I'm going to first define the metadata, saying exactly what I want this external content type to be called. And after I define the metadata of what it should be called programmatically and what should be called in a display name, then I'll go ahead and make the connection to data source. All right. And there we go. All right. So I'm going to call this contacts. Same thing for display name as well. Come on. I'm a little bit slow today. Here we go. The name, the first one, okay, so it automatically named it right now, contacts, which is great. The name is the programmatic name or the internal name that it's going to be used to be called by SharePoint. The display name is, of course, what it's displayed to the user looking at it. I'll click here to discover external data sources right here. And then within that, I'm going to make a new connection when it comes back. My connection is going to be using the SQL Server adapter, the SQL Server to go to AdventureWorks database. But you can also connect using a .NET connector or also a WCF connector. All those things are available here. While this is doing this, I'm going to go ahead and show you what I want to be connecting to. Here's a database that I have. I'm sure many of you know about this AdventureWorks database, right? It's a sample database Microsoft produced, and it has lots of sample data. So that's what I'm going to go and pull in information from a table called contact right here. All right, this table has lots of different contact information for people. All right, so I guess it's still going over here. Let me show you the contacts that we should be seeing when it comes up. There we go. Contact ID, name, style, title, first name, last name, lots of different records there. All right, still going. Any questions while we wait? Can you connect to another SharePoint farm using this feature? Another SharePoint farm, what I would recommend is using a web service to connect to that. So you can, using the WCF connector, you can use that to go to web services. All right, it came back. There's already a connection here. Let me see if I can make a new connection, add connection. Here we go. Here are the three different data source types that I can choose. I'm going to choose SQL Server for right now. My database server here is going to be, I want to just make sure. So my database, of course, is running here. SPEL.aw.com is my server name. I think SPEL will do. And I'll use a database name, AdventureWorks. Name, I'll just call something different because there's already AdventureWorks out there. And I'll connect with the user's identity, my user identity right now, but you can impersonate the user later as well. So you can say that connected as the Windows identity. So whoever comes in later, their identity will get passed. Okay. Let's see how long this takes. Hopefully not that long. Once it does come up, let me tell you also what I'm going to do later. You will see a list of tables, right? In the list of tables, you can go ahead and execute operations. You can say that, okay, I'm seeing these tables address, contact, I'm seeing all these different kind of entities there. I want to be able to add contacts, which is what we're going to do. And I also not just want to be able to add contacts, but also view contacts, edit contacts. These are all different operations. You can say that it gives me all different operations in this external content type, or you can pick the operation that you want. Would you believe me if I told you an hour ago it was much quicker? Would you believe me? You would not believe me? Anybody believe me? Seriously, Murphy's Law is alive and well. When you're trying to do something in front of an audience, it's much longer. Otherwise, it was so much quicker. All right. Trust me, with a good performance machine, you will not have this much lag in this thing. Yeah, someone told me that doing this makes it go faster. So I'll keep on doing it, just in case. Yes, sir. Save the customizations to the site? Okay, so customizations that I'm making to the site, you're saying? Uh-huh. Sure. Okay. Excellent question. This is going to kill a lot of time. Thank you. So the answer to this, which is definitely needed, you need to know how I can take sites from place to place, right? If I make my content types, I make my site columns, all those different things, how do I take that site and transport it to my production? Well, you can make list templates, but not like the list templates that you've been used to. Not site templates. What we used to do in 2007 is you make a site template, it becomes a .stp file, right? And that .stp file, you go ahead and upload it to a site collection, and then you say, okay, use this template, use a SharePoint template to go ahead and make a new site. Well, it was kind of buggy, and it had limitations of how much you can data that you can store in there and all that stuff. So workaround for that now is making a WSP file. It is not. Oh, thank you. I'm almost done with my answer, too. Okay. So making a .wsp file. WSP file is what? Anybody know? It's a solution, right? It's a SharePoint solution. Developers love .wsp files, all right? So what you can do is you can take the whole site, wrap it into a WSP file, which SharePoint Designer will let you do, save the whole site as a template, It goes directly into the solution repository, and then you can go ahead and deploy that to a different place. And then you go ahead and use it as a new instance of a site. So as a solution, you can go ahead and deploy it, activate it to a different site collection, and it will be available to be able to create new sites from that site template. All that stuff is available, absolutely. And thank you for that question. I appreciate it. All right. So I'm going to go to AdventureWorks, tables. Oh, no. No. I couldn't hear, I'm sorry.
Can you also include content?
Yes. 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 So you can include content, or you can just include the whole template without the content.
There are no restrictions on the size.
Well, you know, I've not dug deep in there to see exactly what the limitations are for the size. I think there are some size limitations still, but it's much bigger. And it might change by RTM anyway, so I don't want to take a guess on that. But I think there's definitely, it's much, much bigger than the, what was it, like 20-some meg or 25 megs that we had before? Oh, yes. Thank you for that question. All right. Okay, if this stops again, then I'm going to go ahead and switch to something else and come back. Okay, I'm going to go to the contact table, right-click on it, and say create all operations. The read operation, the write operation, create operation, all that different stuff. Let's see. This might be quicker. what it should do when it comes up is open up a wizard, and the wizard should guide me as to if you're making your new content type. If you want to go ahead and map the columns in that content type to, well, actually I didn't pick that. If I had told it that this content type is going to be like the content type in Exchange, like an Outlook, then I could have mapped the content type columns. Like first name here is going to be the same as the first name in Outlook or in Exchange. Last name is same as a last name as Outlook. All right, I did not do that part. Come on. Let's go. Huh. Wow, it's taking forever. All right. It worked last time, didn't it? Almost. Let me see if I can open up another SharePoint Designer instance at least. Microsoft Office, SharePoint Designer. No? Don't crash on me. Okay. No. Good. It's doing something. Something that's hopefully good. Let's close this thing. All right. I have two non-responding SharePoint Designer applications now. All right. Here's what we're going to do. In the interest of time, what I'm going to do is I'm going to move forward to this next demo for about workflows, because I know many of you are interested in workflows. I don't want to eliminate that demo. Oh, here's, now it is here. Oh. Okay, if this stops one more time, I'm going to switch over to the workflow demo, and we'll come back to this, all right? I promise. All right, so this is the wizard that pops up, saying, okay, you want to make a new external content type? Give me more information about it. I'm going to say next, and here we go. Here's how you can map things. I could have said first name and then map the office property, which right now is not connected, but I could have said that the office property first name, which shows up in an Outlook contact, go ahead and map it to that. Then I could actually manage the external content type directly from Outlook. All right, but right now what I'm going to do is go to last name here and just say that show this as a in picker as well. So when it comes up in external list, show the last name in the picker entity. Finish. Okay, and this is the last step actually. So if it finishes and I can save it, then the external content type is ready. What would happen after you make an external content type like this is you go to SharePoint in the web browser, or you go directly to this thing here called Create Lists and Forms, and you pick a new list of type external content, external list. The external list, the reason it's called external list is because the actual content that's in the list does not reside in SharePoint. It resides in your line of business application. So it shows you the information through your SharePoint list entity, but it's coming all from the line of business application. Okay, it's done. All right, so what I'm going to do is go to the browser in this case. And let's see for the right place. Yep. Site actions, more options, make a new list of type external list. We'll call this contacts. Create. Okay. Why are you doing this to me today? Did I not save it? Ah, moved too far ahead of myself. All right, let me go ahead and save this here. All right. So it's saving it to the BDC metadata store. All right, that's what it's called, BDC metadata store, back in your BDC service application. Once it gets created, it should show up here side by side. All right. Here's what I'm going to do. Let it go ahead and create this thing, and I'm going to go ahead to go to workflow, come back to this thing, and show you the next step after that, which is going to be creating external list from this BDC layer.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Is it as easy connecting to SAP Oracle on a party database?
Yes, because, okay, so the question here is this easy to go ahead and connect to SAP and Siebel and PeopleSoft or whatever? Well, it's not as easy because you're not going to a Microsoft SQL Server, in this case what we're doing, but if you had programmed a .NET connector which already had information of how to get to your SAP, or if you had a web service that knows exactly how to get to your backend layer, then you can just connect to that web service or connect to a .NET application and then go ahead and pull in data directly. Absolutely. So once the component, underlying component, which has a connection to your line of business data, if that's already created, then you can go ahead and just as easily go ahead and pick that component, pick that layer, and pull in your data. Okay, still going. All right. So here's the next thing. Okay, creating powerful, reusable workflows. We were able to create workflows very easily in 2007, right? In SharePoint 2007. So using the browser, you had four different workflows you could create in the browser using SharePoint Server 2007. You had the approval workflow, the collect feedback workflow, the collect something else workflow, and then one more was disposition approval workflow. Okay, collect signatures was the third one. Collect signatures. After those four workflows, if you don't want to do it through the browser, then you jumped into SharePoint Designer, and SharePoint Designer 2007 lets you build more workflows and give you a really nice workflow designer environment where you can make steps, and within the steps you can make conditions, make actions, and the workflow was great. The problem came when you wanted to reuse that workflow. To transport that workflow, to scale that workflow out, give it to somebody else, that was the biggest problem. So now you have something called the reusable workflows. Reusable workflows does solve that problem. You can go ahead and make a workflow, attach it directly to a list or a library, or attach it to a content type, and then reuse that again and again as you need it. All right, so list workflows still exist, and then now you have reusable workflows. There's a third one called a site workflow. Now, a site workflow is if you wanted to attach your workflow not to the whole, not to a specific list, but you want to attach it to a site. For example, if you wanted to take for a survey of information, and you wanted, of course, to be able to pull information from different places, and you wanted the survey to go out to everybody, not just people who have access to a particular list or library. So you make a site workflow. You make a site workflow. They can access this workflow directly from using a link on your homepage or site. Then go ahead and fill out the information. They click on send, and then once the information is submitted, you can do whatever you want that you could do in a workflow environment. All right. Here's the thing. The BDC, the external content type, is done, but I'm not going to mess with it right now. I'll go to workflow and come back to this thing. One, it gives me some power here. Come on. Workflows. Is it stuck again? All right. Just repeat to yourself, beta software, beta software. This will not happen in production. There you go. SP designed. In process for right now. Yes, in process. All right. Start SharePoint Designer. In SharePoint Designer, I'll go ahead and start my site again. And we'll go to workflows. All right. Now, I'll explain these three workflows at the end. Remind me if I don't. But there are the built-in workflows that you can also customize using SharePoint Designer, which is really, really cool. Something called a Task Process Designer will let you customize the built-in workflows. What I want to do now is make a new workflow from scratch. And it's going to be a reusable workflow that I can use in different places. So I'll click on Reusable Workflow. And I'll call this workflow Reservations. All right. This right here asks me, what content type do you want to scope this workflow to? So if you know that you're going to be using your workflow only in documents, document libraries, then you scope it to documents, content type. Same thing if you want to scope it only to a list, you scope it to a list content type. In this case, I'm going to say just scope it to all content types. Click on OK. Here's my workflow designer environment. The workflow designer environment is completely baked into SharePoint Designer. So in SharePoint Designer 2007, we had a separate window that came up. And you could devise your workflows, you can design your workflows in that separate window. And here, everything is baked directly in here. And you'll see exactly why this is so easy to work with, first of all, and it's much more versatile to work with in this environment. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and click on step one, change this to create reservation. All right, here's where you can start typing in your actions, your conditions. So here are your conditions. And here are your actions. Lots of different actions that have been added now. Document set actions, new list actions as well, relational actions. There's lots of different things you can do now. What I'm going to do is simply click on log to history list to begin with and log a simple message. And this message is going to be just starting the workflow. All right. For the next action, I know that there's, let's say, dozens of actions there, or dozens of conditions and actions there. I want to pick a specific one, and I know the name of it, part of a name, so I'm just going to start typing. For example, send, The word send exists in two different actions, is what it's telling me right now. I can click on enter or click on this right here to see which actions does the word send appear in. Here we go. Send an email to users. When I click on these users, it's going to show me my composition window for the email, right? Who do you want to send it to? I'll click on the address book icon here, click on people, click add, and I'll go ahead and pick a user that I have. How about Irene? Pick on Irene Day. Okay, Irene Hernandez. Great. Subject. Please take a look at this item. All right, do you remember in SharePoint Designer 2007? Those of you who have used it, and that's many of you. If you wanted to have the subject be some dynamic and some static value, what did you have to do? So if you wanted to have it some static text, but also some a lookup. Variable. You make a new variable, which would be like a build dynamic string action. It produces a variable, and then you use that variable with some static values, some dynamic values, and you put that in here in subject line. Well, that build dynamic string action is already built in now in subject line, so you click on this ellipsis here, and it brings up the string builder. So you can say, please take a look at this item, dash, and then you could do a lookup. And the lookup, current source, current item, and title. That sounds good. All right. Also, the body of the message, you don't have to put HTML in there anymore if you're used to doing that. You can go ahead and directly customize, format your message in here, and it gives you a nice, rich text box now. So here is some message content, right? Click on content. Make it bold, make it bigger, change the colors. All right. And you know what? You even have this dropper. So you can go ahead and pick the exact color that's in this sleeve right here if you wanted to. All right. It comes really in handy if you're branding. Absolutely. All right. I'm done making this one. Great. Now what I want is a condition. So I'll go down here, click on condition, and my condition is going to be if current item equals some value. Condition if current item field equals some values. The field that I'm going to pick is going to be title. And change the equals to contains. And this is very important for my case right now, that I'm going to ignore the case. I'm going to provide it a keyword and say ignore the case for it. contains ignoring case, and the value here is going to be picnic. All right? And then I'll go down to tell it exactly what to do. Well, go to action, and I'll say assign a to-do item. The to-do item is going to be reserve a picnic spot. And I'll assign it to my beloved Irene again. All right. So here's a task for Irene. Good enough so far? Okay. Bless you. Then I'll go ahead and say, give it an else if value. You know, if this is not true, then look for some other condition. And here's the else if branch. I'll click on the else if button here, and it gives me the else. And right now, it just gives me else, by the way. It doesn't give me else if until I go ahead and pick a condition. Once I pick a condition, then it goes ahead and puts the else if. So condition, if current item field equals value. Field, once again, is going to be title. Contains ignoring case, and the value is going to be meeting. All right. And I'll do this quickly here this time. Assign a to-do item. The item here is going to be reserve a meeting room. And the user is going to be, oops, I'll make it a different user this time. How about, I think there's, our, yeah, Robert Kelly. All right. All right, so we're done. Let's say our workflow is done right now. Now I'm going to go ahead and show you exactly how you can attach it and use it in different listen libraries. So you click on this nice big old save button, which we did not have in the last version of SharePoint Designer, right? There was no save button for saving workflows. You know how you could save workflows in 2007, by the way? This is going to be something that's going to be helpful to you right now. How do you save SharePoint Designer 2007 workflows? Anybody know? So you're not done with it. You don't want to publish it. You just want to save it and come back to it later. Nobody's saving any workflows, really? So you're doing it all in one shot? All right, here's a trick that you can use. Currently in SharePoint Designer 2007, which does not have a save button, you go ahead and introduce an error into your workflow. So you go ahead and put in an action or a condition and don't configure it. And then click on publish. You know what it's going to say? Like, oh, well, you have an error in your workflow. Do you want me to go ahead and save it? It works. It works. All right. In this case, I'm going to click on save and then click on publish. Now, what it's doing right now is validating the workflow and publishing it to this site. When the publishing is done, which is the case right now, I'm going to go to the workflow settings button and tell it exactly where do I want to attach the to. Associate to a list or associate to a content type. I'll click on associate to list and I'll pick the calendar list. All right? The association part of associating a workflow to a list or even a content type, that does not happen in SharePoint Designer. That actually is the interface in the browser that you need to do the association. So right now it's just thinking and it's going to go ahead and pull up the calendar list soon. And the calendar list is the one that I'm going to use to do my association. Any second now. Here we go. Okay, so here's the calendar list. And it's saying it's going to make a reservations workflow, which is good. That's what I want. And it's going to be taking this template right here. You see this, reservations? So this has become a part of my environment right now, reservations template. It's going to take that. I can choose a unique name, whatever I want. I'll just keep reservations for right now. And I'll say start this workflow when a new item is created on this list and click OK. Done. Now I'm going to go ahead and test it out to see how it works. Calendar. I'll click on add. Let's make a new item. New item is going to has to have the word meeting or picnic in there for it to do what I need it to do. So I'll say, how about a board meeting? Okay. Save. And I'll go to the board meeting thing here. Click on workflows. There's already a workflow in progress. Reservations, and is it in progress right now? If I click on the in progress, it should show me the progress for that workflow currently. And that's just going to be, hopefully, if everything worked here, it's going to be a new task item that's been assigned to, this is a meeting, so I think this was assigned to Robert Kelly. Okay. And that's what it should show me any second when the assignment happens. So when an assignment happens to a person, that person should have gotten an email as well. So all they have to do is click on that email address that they get, I mean, the link in the email address, and it should bring them back to the assigned task. So here's Robert Kelly's task, reserve a meeting room. If I click on tasks here, here's a task for Robert Kelly. All right, now I can, hang on a second. All Robert would have to do, of course, is simply go log in, which maybe I'll do quickly here. I'll impersonate Robert. Robert. And I'll go in and say complete task. Great. So when I'm done, do that, I'll sign back in as administrator. All right, and just look back at the calendar list, look at the board meeting item, and the workflow should be completed now, and it is. Okay, simple enough. Attaching it to a list, how about if I want to attach it to a different list? Same exact procedure. Associate to a list, and let's say if I click on announcements, same exact thing should happen, and I'm not going to waste your time in showing you the exact same thing again, but keep this in mind that when you're doing this, the really good thing about doing this is later on when you decide to change the workflow, which I'm sure you will, add a step, do something with it, that step you can do directly in the original workflow template and just say, go ahead and update all the different workflows which are out there, attached to whatever content type, attached to whatever list, and it's going to go ahead and update everything. Okay, so that comes in really handy. Now, I know somebody's going to ask this question, so I'm going to answer this right now. And there's a whole session, by the way, that I'm doing tomorrow on workflows. But this question is going to be a big thing, I'm sure, for everybody, is what do I do with this workflow when it's done? How do I transfer it to a different site collection or to a different farm altogether? How do I package it up? Right? There's this thing here called Save as Template. Save as Template. This is exactly what I was telling the other gentleman before, is you can package up a workflow as well as a site. You click on Save as Template, knock on wood, make sure everything goes okay. And it says the template has been saved to the Site Assets Library. The Site Assets Library is a new type of a library that comes with every team site now. And that library can hold your images, your JavaScript files, your VB files, all the different things, and it will hold your WSP files. So when I make a workflow template like this, it goes into the Site Assets Library. Let me go ahead and refresh this. Here we go. Reservations.wsp. Okay, this is your solution now. Two things you can do with the solution. One thing, which I know developers will love to do, is import this as a reusable workflow in Visual Studio. Visual Studio, if you have Visual Studio 2010 already, go ahead and look at it. There's a project which is Import Reusable Workflows. And that will let you browse to a WSP file. You pull this in, and it will let you go ahead and extend this further or deploy it, whatever you want to do with it. So that saves a lot of time. Second thing you can do is just transporting it from place to place. You can go ahead and take this WSP file, put it into a different site collection, a different site, a farm, let's say. And in that different farm, you can go ahead and say, activate this workflow in this site collection. So then you have this workflow in a different site collection available to you. So that is a big, big win, I think, as to the kind of things we can do now with workflows. All right, let me go ahead and show you my last thing here as well before we run out of time. So workflows, once again, I'm doing a whole session on that tomorrow. And this is the other thing that I'm doing a whole session on, which is the data functionality, how you can make data-centric applications, make composite applications using SharePoint Designer. How many of you have worked with a web part called DataView? All right, not that many, actually. All right. Did you have a question, sir, by the way? Or were you saying yes? Okay, great. You anticipated my question you had at hand before I even asked that full question. So DataView web part was a great web part, still remains to be a great web part. And the good thing about DataView web part, which can only be deployed using SharePoint Designer, is you can go towards databases, through web services, to SharePoint list libraries, even to other SharePoint lists and libraries and other site collections, actually other sites, not other site collections, and bring in information, and everything is deployed as a XML. As XML on your page. So the good thing about that is you can use XSLT. You can use XSLT to transform your information by clicking around in different places. Okay, so whoever worked with DataView, I'm sure you've seen how to do that and how you know how to do it. Just clicking around, you can do all these different things. The problem with DataView Web Part, that still remains in SharePoint Designer 2007. The problem is, when you make this DataView Web Part, which will let you really, really cool things and show you all this information, when you deploy it out there onto a site, now you cannot customize this web part any further. You can only customize it with SharePoint Designer, but a user coming in to the browser cannot customize this any further. So, then you think about the other web part that's already built into SharePoint. What's that called? The web part that shows you lists and libraries. The list view web part. The main basic web part is called the list view web part, which just, you know, when you click on add a web part to the gallery, I mean add a web part to a page, and you go to web part gallery, and then you put in a web part onto a page that shows you, for example, a document library or context list or whatever, that thing itself is called a list view web part. That's what it is. So that web part is pretty good, but that is not customizable too much using SharePoint Designer. Okay, so you have the list view web part, which is not thoroughly customizable in SharePoint 2007. So you can't use that, and you cannot use DataView Web Part because DataView Web Part will not let your site administrators do anything with it later in the browser because the browser, I mean, you cannot click around and make changes to it. So what do you do? So the solution to those two problems is the XSLT List View Web Part. This is a much, much more powerful List View Web Part than the one that exists right now in 2007. And this will let you get all the functionality of DataView and the functionality of list view and put it all together. So now you can customize your web part directly in SharePoint Designer. And then once it's done, using the browser, you can customize it even further. You can change the views, you can change the groupings, all the different things. Let me go ahead and show you that right now. Here's what I'm gonna do first. I'll go and show you a customer's Excel sheet that I have. All right, here's all this different data that I got. And I got this from SQL Server, by the way. I just copied and pasted. And I turned this into a table. What I want to do is make a new list using this information. So here's some bonus material for you guys, how you can take an Excel spreadsheet, import it in as a list. Site actions, more options. And let's look at list. Not external list, but import spreadsheet. Okay, import spreadsheet, create. Name of this is going to be customers, browse, customers list, open, import. Here we go. In my status bar, my Excel is blinking here, showing me, okay, what do you want to take from this list? It opened it up automatically, and I want to say that, give me the customers table. Import it in, please. So what it's going to do is, make my customers list, just like that. Now I want to customize this further. So this is what I was saying, that now I'm going to open this up in SharePoint Designer and customize it from there, instead of doing it directly from the browser. In SharePoint Designer, I'll go to Lists and Libraries. Customers is not there right now, but if I refresh, now Customers is there. Now it shows me the summary page for customers. It shows me that there's a view called the All Items view, which is the default view that shows the customer list. When I click on this, it opens up that view in SharePoint Designer. And disregard the error rendering control. Once again, beta software, okay? So don't worry about that. But it's going to go ahead and show me, here we go, customer data. What can I do with it right now? Well, first thing what I want to do is eliminate some of the columns, right? So I'll go to add or remove columns in the ribbon. And say that I don't want the address, remove, and I don't want the state, let's say, remove. All right, next thing, jumping around on me. Next thing what I want to do is control the pagination of this. So in my site, right now it's showing me, let's see how many, 30 items at a time, all right? Then I can go ahead and paginate through more, but it gives me the refresh. What I want to do is use a pagination here in SharePoint Designer and say display sets of 10 items at a time. All right. So it's going to change it. And hopefully in production when it actually runs it, it should be only 10 items at a time. Great. Now here's the really, really cool part that I think you'll like. If I click on a data item and see exactly how this is being pulled back in code, now you don't have to code, but if you can see, if you want to see exactly what XSL is being used to pull this information from the underlying XML that's going to the customer's list, you click on that and you click on something called a formula. Okay? This is the expat editor. It shows you exactly how it's pulling in that information. And if you come to that session tomorrow, I'm going to show you the expat editor and exactly what it can do. But for right now, what I'm going to do is go to, let's go to design tab and change the design of this into boxed view. Let's make it boxed view. So now it shows me customers in boxes. All right. But that's not enough. What I also want to do is I want to conditionally format this data. What I want is every time, let's say the country is Mexico, for example, I want to go ahead and highlight that country, highlight that the data point. I can highlight either a column, I can highlight the whole row, which would of course mean a whole section, a whole box in this case. Or I can highlight just a selection, which I'll do. I'll click on Mexico, or it doesn't have to be, you can click on any of them. It will apply to all the different countries. I can click on Germany, for example. That data point is something that I want to modify. So I'll click on Options and click on Conditional Formatting. Here are my different options. What I want is Format Selection, so I'll pick that. Conditional Formatting, Format this selection. It gives me the condition criteria. How do you want to and when do you want to format this? Well, if the country column equals Mexico. Now, I am currently just typing in Mexico, but you don't have to. You can go ahead and pick a parameter too. If it equals Mexico, click on Set Style, and then it gives you the Set Style or Modify Style window here. Change the font weight to bold. Change the color to red. Change the background here to yellow. Here's what it's going to look like. Okay? And since SharePoint Designer is completely WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get. It renders it right away, what you're going to see in the browser. Question, yes?
That's one question. Where can I see the whole exercise?
Okay. Well, if you click on code down below, right? Here it will show you the XML, the XSLT, everything else that you want. Here you go. Here's all the different XSL parameters and everything else that's showing up.
So the highlighting is everything is implemented
in XSLT. That's right. That's right. Exactly. All right, so this is done, let's say. I'll click on Save. So what I want to show you now is I am done. I made this the way I want it to look like. I'll go to, you know, I can refresh this just like that. Refresh. Yes, refresh. Here we go. And it's not showing any Mexico country. Here we go. Where's Mexico? Here we go. So Mexico is highlighted. It's turning to bold, everything. Here's the kicker, though. After doing all this stuff, now you want the site administrators or designers to go ahead and modify this web part further. So then you go, or that person goes and says, I want this list view to be modified further. You click on Modify View, and this is still available. All different things you could do in the browser for a regular list view web part is now available for the XSLT list view web part. So you decide, for example, that I want to group, and I want to group by state. Remember I took out the state column before? But of course, underlying is still available to me. So what I'm saying as an administrator or designer of the site, I want to go ahead and group my information on state. I'll click on OK at the end. Here we go. So it's grouped. Did the modification in SharePoint Designer, did the modification in the browser, and it's all available to me any way I want to do it, as long as I have the right permissions, all right? Any questions about this functionality? There's going to be a lot more I want to be showing tomorrow in my session about what you can do with list view by parts, but that's all I'm going to cover right now. Yes, sir?
Can I also do that with external
list? Okay, so you want to make a new view using external list. Using SharePoint Designer, you mean?
Yes.
You know what? I'm pretty sure you cannot, because external lists, remember the data resides in the list of line of business application. So, you know, you could probably do a workaround and have it show in a regular list and do that, but I'm pretty sure, 99.9% sure, that you cannot do it currently with external list types. Speaking of that, let's go back to that and see if we can make that happen. So thank you for that question. All right, I'm going to go back to my external content type right here. And if it has been made, then I'll go ahead and make a new external list and show you that. Truly, honestly, you got to believe me, it's much, much quicker. It's just my machine, so I'm going to go ahead and put all the blame on this particular VM, unfortunately. It's much, much faster usually. In fact, you know what? Go ahead and, if you want, the video that I have on SharePoint-videos.com, go ahead and watch that. It will show you how quick it is to make a new external content type. That shows you exactly from step to step exactly how you can go from scratch, make an external content type, hooking it up into SharePoint using external list, and then changing your data, and then making sure the data got changed in the line of business application. In my case, a SQL Server database. All right. Go ahead and if you have any questions, and I'll go ahead and show this if I can. Otherwise, I'll take your questions. Question? Yeah? Have I changed anything you're saying?
The way SharePoint handles the refresh of this information is different on this. Because if you have a large list, you just can just press the refresh button and you have 2007.
Right. Well, so you're talking about the list as an internal list. If it was a large list, it would take a long time in SharePoint Designer. Yeah. Well, it is getting, you know what, I'm not sure if there's a difference in this case, but it is still caching it, right? It's still caching information, taking all the information and trying to display it or trying to show it the external content type in SharePoint Designer. So there's definitely a little bit of hit. I don't know how many rows there are in the contact table, but I can tell you that I did the exact same demo. We're using the contact table, and it was much, much faster. So it's not the size of the list that's really making this issue right now. It does reload. Well, this is the first time, right? Because we just made the external content type before. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'll definitely look into that to see what's going on here. Okay, see, so it's up. The context is up there. And I'm going to go ahead and quickly try to make an external list. Listen libraries, external list, and see if it works. Contacts. And if this takes a long time, what I'll do is I'll wrap up here, showing you the other couple of different slides that I have, and then I'll go ahead and come back to this. Whoever wants to stick around and see it. All right. You know what? That's what I'm going to do right now. Let me go ahead and wrap up this thing, show you some external, the other resources that you can go to or see. For this kind of content and a lot more about SharePoint Designer, I'll tell you about my sessions for tomorrow, and then I'll revisit this, and I'll do what I can. Okay, so for more information, you can, of course, watch the videos on SharePointVideos.com. There's lots of good links. I think you're getting this PowerPoint slide deck, too, so you can see other information about SharePoint Designer and just development in general or IT professional stuff in general for SharePoint. The top two sessions, MSC 20 and MSC 19, are the sessions that I'm doing tomorrow, and I'll go ahead and try to refresh my machine tonight, so hopefully those things will not happen again tomorrow. Also, the What's New in Office 2010 and the Building Solutions with Business Connectivity Services using Visual Studio are good related sessions for the kind of stuff that you saw in this session. All right. I appreciate your patience with these issues that we had today, but if you come back tomorrow, I'll show you these things that I did and a whole lot more, especially with the business connectivity service. No, I'm sorry. But especially with the workflow and with XSLT ListView Web part. And we'll go from there. But thank you very much. Appreciate it.